I knew if you're really real in your faith, I watched my mother. I watched that the woman suffer in and out of the hospital, in and out of the hospital from her early 20s to 63 years old. Never once, woohoo, and I mean, not one time did she ever complain. Barely able to breathe. Mama, how you feeling today? I'm blessed.
The beast of the valley. The reason why your mom told you don't go outside late at night. And a man who's made it a mighty, mighty, mighty long way from Compton all the way to Australia to the world. C.T. Fletcher.
Man, that's a heck of an introduction. I appreciate it. And you just say OG Reed Fletcher's boy.
Let's go. Let's go. So, man, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your day to talk with us today. I think that we have the potential to enlighten a lot of people on and just help people get perspective on Christianity in general and maybe reasons why people are hesitant to even like believe into the faith and things like that. I think that you're one of the most unique people to talk to for a lot of reasons, primarily reasons being one, you've had over 3 near-death experiences. You might even say you died and came back to life. And you've also grew up as a pastor's kid. So you grew up like very much so aware of the faith. You grew up singing in the choir. I'm curious to see if you can still sing.
But I never could sing.
but I feel you. I'm actually a pastor's kid myself.
Okay.
And I already know how you just get used for everything. You know, they might need you on the organ. You can't play. They might need you over here.
So
same experience. So I kind of wanted to start our conversation just with learning more about what that was like growing up as like a pastor's kid and coming up. What was that experience like?
My brother, my mom, me, we were the choir.
Right.
Okay, my dad started out his church in a 3-car garage in Compton, and we were the choir, and I hated every minute of it. I knew I couldn't sing, but I had no choice.
Right.
So, I wind up, like you said, doing some of everything. I was an usher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, whatever it called for, then that's what I was.
Yeah.
And that was because pops would give you no choice.
Would you say like you considered yourself a Christian at that time, or were you just kind of going with the flow?
I was going with the flow because I didn't want to get my ass whooped.
100%.
100%. That's it, man. I mean, that was, I always consider myself, a man of faith.
Right, of course. Yeah, we're going to get to that, too.
I sent up a lot of prayers as a kid.
Yeah.
And, I know some of them, they wasn't going to get answered because they was not prayed in the right frame of mind. I used to pray. There was times when I would pray that my dad wouldn't come home from work. So,
which is understandable.
So, I knew that wasn't going to work right there, but I used to pray. I'd be sending them up, boy.
And would that just be because you just probably did something wrong and you didn't want to get in trouble? Or is that why would you make that prayer?
Because every day was torture. Mm. Every day was torture. I mean, my dad, was holiness of hell. My way, you go, you doomed. I don't care who you are. You are going to hell. If it's his way was the only way. Baptist, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, whatever. Mm-hmm. 7-day Adventist, 8-day Adventist, you're going to hell.
Oh,
if you don't believe exactly the way he believed, you're on your way to hell. And that's just the way it was. So I was included in that bunch. I was on my way too.
So would you say his perspective on Christianity is would you say that aligns with what you believe Christianity to be, or would you?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
Okay. So then before I even get into, I have a clip I wanted to play, but before we get into the clip, how would you say your father was as a representative of the faith? Like, would you say he represented the faith well to you, or how would,
I would say that he was a terrible example of what a real Christian should be.
Mm.
And but he was not the only one.
Of course.
You know, like I said, I grew up in church. We went to church every Sunday, every Tuesday, and every Friday. That was just the normal. And of course, if we had a revival, it was every night. And, you know, we was there, and I seen absolutely, hands down, without a shadow of a doubt, the worst sinners. And I've been in the military. I've been all over the world traveling. The worst sinners that I have ever seen was in church every Sunday.
Wow.
And the reason why it made them so much worse, they wasn't like they was doing things that other people wasn't doing out there in the world, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But you in church. You proclaiming to be a child of God. You proclaiming to be holier than thou. And once you make that proclamation, if you're doing the same thing them folks out there is doing, you worse.
And that makes sense to me, especially being that I take you as somebody who, when you say something, you want to do it. And so when you're looking at other people who say, hey, this is what I'm about, and they're not aligning with their word, they're not aligning with what they believe, it's probably very, you probably process that like, yo, you guys aren't serious. So then what would you say is like one of the, just as an example, one of the worst examples you've seen of like one of those sins that a Christian committed that you think was just a horrible representation of the faith?
Well, there's people, they probably, some of them going to see this podcast, that love my dad to death. They think, you know, he can walk on water. But when you're getting up, I mean, one of the cardinal sins that my brother and I, my older brother, but I have a younger brother too, but he was so much older than him that I didn't grow up with him. But one of the cardinal sins was women. You know, if you go after women or you love women or, you know, chase women or whatever like that, that's your ass. That's you going to hell if you do that.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily, but I
can't. Oh, no, I'm just saying what Pops.
Oh, you're right.
That's what he got up in the pulpit and taught.
Yeah.
Yet, he's sleeping with the deacon's wives.
Your dad.
My father. I didn't find out.
Wait, and you knew that for a fact?
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't find out that I had a sister until after my mother passed away. And I'm 50-something years old. And I didn't know I had a younger sister.
A sister not with your mom?
Not with my mother, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
She is the daughter of my former babysitter. And I had no idea. But I did know I had four older sisters. And when they would come over to the house when we were little kids, when my sisters would come over to the house and visit my dad, our dad, a church member would come by, and they had to hide in the closet because Pops didn't want his church to know that he had four other kids besides me and my brother.
Oh, wow.
So that's the, and his main, one of his main topics of damnation, there's no women. You know, if you do this with women and you fornicate and you do this and do that, you straight to hell and I don't care. I mean, he'd be wringing wet with sweat preaching that message. And I used to tell my mom, and I love my mom to death, Mama, if that motherfucker in there, excuse me, if that motherfucker in there go to heaven, I ain't got to change nothing. If he going to heaven, I'm gonna beat him there. I ain't, because you know, my mother, I had two. I had what I considered the worst example of how to get somebody to live right.
Right.
And my mother, I considered the best example. So I had the best of the best and the worst of the worst under the same roof.
You recorded it saying, like, you can look in somebody's eyes and know if, like, they're being honest or not, right?
Yeah.
And I do think that I heard somebody say, you can teach what you know, but you can only repeat what you are. And if you aren't somebody that's, like, changed from the inside, you can tell people all you want, hey, this is how you should live, but it probably won't even really register with them because you're not on that yourself.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it is good that you had the mom to at least have an in-house example of what Christianity is today. So I got a clip.
Jesus is going to die all over again if they don't find a way to portray him the way he was historically known to be. If you look at the history facts of Jesus, which I think favor Christianity in this weird way, that dude is not the dude y'all have turned him into. The same people that you are like criticizing and going against are the only people that Jesus had a relationship with in the Bible. He did nothing but protect town whores, prostitutes, people in jail. Like the famous story of the throwing stones, let he who without sin cast his first stone. He was protecting a prostitute.
Absolutely. Absolutely he was protecting a prostitute.
So what's your perspective on that?
Whoever that was is 10,000% correct. And that is the first type of people that people turn their nose up and look, you know, and oh no, the quickest to condemn them. And that is who Jesus came here to save. Like I said, Pops is my way. And he would get up in church and he would berate folks, you know. I mean, we never got along really well. Because I think that he could tell that I wasn't buying. Even as a little kid, I wasn't going to say nothing because I didn't want my lips slapped off. But I think he could tell that I was like, there's some bullshit in my head. You know, I said, muffle that under my breath, but I was going to say it out loud. I think he could tell that I had a bullshit detector built in. I'm like, okay. All right, because he'd take us over to Sister Whatever's house. Bring me and my brother. He would bring me and my brother now. Me and my brother in the living room playing with Sister Sally's kids, and him and Sister Sally in the room having prayer.
And you knew that at the time.
Yeah, and I'm a little kid, but I ain't stupid. The door fly open to the bedroom. Him and Sister Sally ain't nobody on their knees. Ain't nobody praying, and Sister Sally got a slip on.
Mm.
And I ain't never forgot that. And I'm like, that's strange. What kind of prayers they have? And why can't they have it out here with the rest of it? So it was.
Did you ever call him out on that though? Like, did you ever say, hey, Pops, what's going on?
Me and Pops had many, many, once I got to be an adult age, man, we had many, many confrontations. We were arguing at my mother's gravesite.
Oh, man.
And, you know, people thought I was the devil out there arguing with my dad at my mom's gravesite. But he got up and in his eulogy, he thought it was appropriate to tell everybody how much he spent on my mom's casket and what he had done. Oh, man, I couldn't take it. I went off, man.
Yeah, that's nasty.
We out there, you know, we out there at the gravesite arguing and whatnot, brother. We had many confrontations.
You feel like he ever kind of changed or it just kind of was? Or at least would he acknowledge like, hey, look, I know I'm wrong for this. This is something I'm struggling with in this area.
Well, that is one thing that I have never phrase I have never heard my father utter in his entire life. He lived to be 86 years old. I never heard him say that he was wrong about anything.
Mm.
And that used to irk the hell out of me. You see, my mom would be quick, you know, even if she didn't really feel like she was wrong. She said, if I did something that hurt you, if I did something that makes you think I wronged you, please forgive me. She had no problem doing that. So I'm so glad for my mom's influence because that's where, you know, that's the one that I want to strive to be like,
right,
is my mother, you know. So she gave me a very good example.
So then this is really what I want to get into. So clearly you understand what being a Christian is about. So knowing that, would you consider yourself a believer in Christ or no?
Oh, definitely a believer in Christ.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I am definitely. A Christian is different than a believer in Christ. I know you're going to say that they are, that's the same thing.
Pretty much,
yeah. but it's not. It's absolutely not. Christian is the name of a religion that was made by man. Christ is not a religion that was made by man. Mm. There's definitely a difference between a believer in Christ and a Christian.
And so what would you say some of the differences are?
Christian, like I said, was man-made.
Yeah, yeah.
Christ is Son of God.
So then, knowing that, do you are you going to church? Are you how are you expressing that daily?
Praying.
Right.
Direct communication with the Lord.
Not,
I don't need no middleman.
Yeah.
I don't need you to interpret with me what the Lord told you to tell me. No, I don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, because I got a direct line to him. I could pick up and call him up myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need no, you don't have to do no interpretation for me. Hey, Lord, I need you.
100%.
I want to talk to you.
100%.
I don't need no translator.
If I had to add to it, I would say that, and you've even let us know that you are a man of faith and works, right? And I want to touch on those two things in depth, because I think that those are things that, if I'm being honest, when I speak on what I like want to really see in more people and even want to see more in myself, it is, let's start with faith, right? So like, you've been through so much and you've had faith through it all, right? How did you get to that point? Because I'm not going to lie, like, it's easy to talk about these things that we're called to walk out as Christians, but when you're really faced with a real situation, when you really have to walk it out, it's not the easiest. You know what I mean? Like, you get in a situation where you're like, yo, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent next month. It's like your whole life just came crashing down, even though you've figured it out before in the past. So you get in a situation where a family member is maybe like going through some health stuff. Your whole life's crashing down. And I take you as a man who's, granted, you might not like the situations you're in. You've had faith through a lot of those. What helped you build that faith in, like, knowing that everything's going to be all right? Like where's that coming from?
I had a tremendous advantage in that avenue. And my mother was, and I want everybody to really know this. I mean, they, you know, give me credit for having faith and all, but I had one of the best examples of what to do when crisis or emergencies or life threatening situations come by watching my mother.
Mm.
I grew up, she was sick most of her adult life. She was sick until she was early 20s, from her early 20s to age 63 when she passed away. She was sick. Mm. She was sick. She had lung disease. And I watched the woman suffer in and out of the hospital, in and out of the hospital from her early 20s to 63 years old. Never once, woohoo, and I mean,
man,
not one time did she ever. Not once did she ever complain. She never said, any time you ask her. I mean, I'll go to the hospital and I see her, she'd be on the oxygen tent, barely able to breathe. Mama, how you feeling today? I'm blessed. That, I seen that as a small child. I had that example. I had that pattern. I knew if you're really real, in your faith, not what you profess, because I've seen a whole lot of people go to pieces under much lesser conditions.
Mm.
But that was the strongest, you know, I had that strong example of what faith really is. When you're at death's door and you can say, Lord, let your will be done, I mean, whatever it is. Whether you take me, you leave me, whatever, your will, not my will. If you can do that, then you ain't just talking. You ain't just, I had the perfect example of not just talking religion, but living a life. And that, you know, that out, this man-made religion, living the life that you read about in your Bible, that they tell stories about, living that life, that's what's going to get you into heaven, brother.
You're right. And then you found yourself in a similar situation.
Absolutely.
Where you, I don't know if the word is died. I don't know if the word is had a near death, but you had to walk that situation out. How was that for you? And how, and specifically in the department of faith.
Yes.
How was your faith challenged in that moment?
I had I flatlined five times. Flatlined five times. And like I said, I had the perfect example.
Yeah.
As a kid of what to do in that situation. If you're real about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go to church.
Yeah.
But faith, ooh, it's going to be hard for you to find a Christian.
You're not lying.
Because, brother, when that came, and, you know, I was at home. I had a heart attack. I was at home with my son. And I was so sure that I was going to die that I apologized to my son for having to leave him too soon. I said, see, you know, I'm sorry, Samson, daddy ain't gonna make it. It was, you know, I was sure that I was not gonna make it through the night. But one thing I didn't do was lose my faith. They took me to the emergency room, and first when the ambulance or whatever people got there, by the time they got there, I forgot to lift this part. My son, I was 100% sure I was going to die.
Yeah.
Samson was 100% sure I was not going to die. And he told me, he said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And I was looking at him like he crazy. Because I said, you don't feel this elephant sitting on my chest right now. I ain't going to make it through this. And he's like, yeah, nope, you're not going to die. But he was so convincing.
You felt like it rubbed on you a little bit.
I was like, maybe not. By the time they got there, I could not move when it first hit me. And by the time the ambulance arrived, I got up and was able to, you know, to sit in the wheelchair and stuff. And by the time I got to the hospital, they rushed me to the emergency room. And I'm still like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it out of here. But he gave me a little hope when he said it, because he said it was such a surety. A nurse, and I tell you, brother, to this day, I kind of think that was an angel.
Mm.
She came in there, because I have no idea what her face looked like. And she whispered in my ear. She said, CT, and I don't know how she know me. She said, CT, there's people all across the world who are counting on you.
Man.
So for me, I was like, you know, I did my best, man. I'm ready, you know, I wanted to see my mama. You know, I did everything I could, Lord. I'm getting ready to see my mama now, so you go ahead and take me. But when she said that, people all over the world depending on me, that's why I can't go nowhere yet then. You know, I gotta fight now. I gotta hold on, because I could do it for someone else. But for myself, I was tired, man. I had been, you know, sick for a long time.
And I can't tell you how amazing it is to just even have you just sitting here in front of me right now. Yeah. After the heart attack, you could taking a shower was difficult.
Yes,
so
sir.
To just see you walk, you're a living testimony of what you're saying. You're not just talking. You know what I mean? And as somebody who's benefited from you walking it out, just thank you. You know what I mean? Thank you so much for that, man. It's very much so inspiring. With all that being said, I know you when you were lifting, you were eating like a lot of fast food. Now looking back, for those people who are trying to, you know, get girls, get muscles, get strong, all that, what would you have done differently if you could go back to take care of your body more? I know you were quoted in saying, you know, your body's a temple. Mm-hmm. What would you do differently?
Well, I would have ate a lot more chicken breasts.
Okay. So by fast food, what exactly was it? We talking McDonald's?
Of course. McDonald's was, you know, I was on a first name basis with them. I worked at the post office for 28 years, and every day at lunchtime, I walk in there. Hey, CT, it's already ready. They'd have it ready and on the table, waiting for me to get there.
Oh, wow.
Already set up, had my 4 Big Macs, 4 fries.
4 Big Macs?
Oh, yeah. Every day. That was my lunch. That's just lunch now. That's just lunch. I ate other cheeseburgers throughout the day.
I see how things got crazy, though. The four Big Macs is crazy.
And see, what this did was speed up a already DNA-related process. Because, see, like I said, my mother was sick. She had a weak heart also.
Okay.
And her sister, all 9 of her siblings, it was 10 of them, all of them passed away from heart problems. I had cousins my age passed away from heart problems. So heart problems was already entrenched in my DNA. And I'm out there doing everything
I can.
You're
just eating Big Macs. That's crazy.
Speed it up. I'm trying to speed it up with my heart attack.
If you would go back, of course, you wouldn't do that. But just for like some fitness things, would you say that you have to be in a caloric surplus to gain muscle?
Definitely.
Or to get stronger?
Definitely.
Okay, so it's still necessary to eat a lot.
Oh, especially if you choose to be natural, which is, you know, what I advocate, preach, you know, natural. If you want to be natural and be strong, be big, you don't have to eat. Right. It's no way around it.
Sheesh. So then there's the discipline point too, right? So
absolutely.
Like with you, you've clearly, in order to even get like to be the world's strongest man, you gotta be super disciplined, right?
Yep.
What are some tips that you have to like keep yourself accountable, right? Like and go to the gym when you know you don't want to. You know what I mean? Like, how are you doing that?
People have absolutely thrown motivation under the bus. Motivation gets you off the couch. Discipline keeps you off the couch. So you need something that will motivate you enough to get you started, get you going. And at the time when I started, my motivation was some big ass arms. That's how when I went to the gym, that's all I trained.
100%.
I trained nothing else but arms. I trained every time I stepped in the gym, and I stepped in there every day. I was training nothing, but I ain't caring about no bench pressing, no leg, no calf, no none of that. I said, I ain't gonna pull my britches off no way, so anybody was looking at me.
So you were skipping leg day?
Oh, what was that?
Oh, wow.
I made funny cats to train legs.
Oh, that's crazy.
Until I decided I want to try to be a bodybuilder. You know, like, oh man, I can't get around. I gotta work some ways now.
Yeah, so it's not unbalanced.
Yeah.
Man. So then, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I'm very encouraged because just knowing that like you're a man of faith. I didn't know if this would be you saying I'm a man of faith, but I don't even know necessarily like who God is. I'm trying to figure this out. So to hear that you're saying you're a Christian, to me is just. It's enlightening. And then I'm not going to lie, even just hearing the story of Samson and how he was able to encourage you at your hardest life moment.
Absolutely.
To me also just shows that you've also passed that same faith from your mom that was in you down to the next generation as well.
Absolutely.
Which is, I think that's just like, as a man, the most beautiful thing you could do in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I want to make a distinction now. I ain't say I'm no Christian. You asked me, did I believe in Christ?
Excuse me. Well, I don't even care what we call it.
There's a difference between that. There's a difference to me. Because I believe you can believe in Christ, not be a Christian, not be associated with any religion, you know, particular religion. Because I think all of them are man-made. Not just Christians and Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever. All of them. Some man in the beginning set a rule. He said, okay, we're going to take some basic rules from the Bible, but this is how our religion gonna go. This, you know, and they set a set of rules up for Kojic. Certain Baptists got certain rules, Presbyterian got certain beliefs, certain rules, certain day of man, certain rules, Mormons, everything. Man determine what those are.
No, and I'm not gonna lie, we're aligned there too. And yeah, to be honest, that's one of my biggest I think problems with like the church at large, I guess we could say, because I think it makes it hard for people who don't understand the faith to even understand it if we look like we're fighting amongst ourselves. You know what I mean?
It even look like it.
Yeah, we are. You know what I mean?
More people have died in the name of religion than anything else on earth.
Which is crazy, because the people being alive should be the main focus.
The main mission. The main mission. They're getting the mission all twisted because of man's interference.
100%. And I like that you're kind of making that distinction of Christian instead of a believer in God. You know what I mean? Because I think that's what we need more of. It's not that complicated. You know what
it
I mean?
Is
like
not.
Like these different denominations are really just arguing over the minor, and like you got a major. They're majoring on the minor things and minoring on the major things.
Absolutely, I'm missing the major things.
Something many times.
I got so there are so many internet Christians and preachers that is ridiculous. There's a young man, Kanal, what's his name?
Yes.
Kanal, who's dying. And he posted his hospice stay, his last days on earth, on Instagram. He did not profess to be a Christian, but the amount of faith that this young man displayed put Christians to shame. And it was Christians on his comment. Now he dying, he facing death, peace with peace, strong sense of faith, and they are trying to convert him over the internet. Now, he ain't never met these motherfuckers a day in his life. And they're going to try to convert a man who's showing them in real life how to die. Now, he's showing them how to die with grace, strength, power. He's showing them by his example, which speaks volumes, way, way more than some person on the internet that you ain't never met, trying to convince you that their way is the right way. You folks on the internet, quit doing that. Quit doing that. Somebody that I do not know, have never met, is going to try to convert me to them. That will never work, dummy. That ain't going to work. I don't know. Because you've seen it too. It's too many hypocrites.
Yeah.
And I don't know you from Adam. And you telling me that you got the magic, this how you get to heaven, this the only way you do it, this you got this, this is it, and if you don't do it like that, who is you? I don't know you. I have no idea. Just because I've seen it too many times. All it is here. But the way you're living, I have to observe you, know you for real, know that you are living the life that you are talking about in your song or singing about in your song. I got to know you that for real for me to pay you any attention.
And the action of it is what's going to convert more than
absolutely
that. Typing. It takes no faith, no discipline, no anything to type a comment that says, "Have you heard about Jesus?"
Absolutely.
To someone who probably already heard about it.
Yeah,
but it takes real substance to be able to walk out faith.
Yeah,
and that what that guy that you're talking about was showing is going to be way more effective than. Of course, you know, like just typing words and stuff like that.
So absolutely,
we definitely align there. So then, I guess before you go, I gotta hear this firsthand, right? So, as someone who's been at that store, you know, and been flatlined, we could say you died and came back potentially, right? With that being the case, can you describe what it was like, just in that? Because I've heard you describe it. I got to hear this firsthand. Like, if you could just describe what it was like when you were, let's say, dead?
Okay. Four times, four of those flat lines, I was in the hospital.
Okay.
Three of them, I was on the operating table during my first open heart surgery. So I don't remember anything about that except, you know, like not a dream, but a vision or whatever you want to call
it. Okay, so like sleep kind of.
This distinction. There was one time when I was at home talking to my wife like we talking.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I'm gone. But you know, I absolutely 100% knew that I was dying. Wasn't no question about it. Because the distinction is so great. I mean, they say that your whole life flashes before your eyes before you die.
Mm-hmm.
It was, my whole life didn't flash before my eyes. What flashed before my eyes or what went through my mind was all the things that I had not done. Not any of championships or nothing. Nothing that I had already done. Only the things that I still wanted to, my work that was left undone. That's what flashed before my eyes. And when I passed, my wife said that it was just a few minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. And I woke
That's
up.
That's a long time, though, by the way. to be gone.
To be dead, yes.
That's a long time.
But when I woke up, I felt like I had been asleep for a week. That 5 minutes, there is no rest, no sleep, no nothing that I've never experienced anything that comes close to comparing to that type of peace.
Would you say there was a sense of consciousness during that time?
Like
awareness, or was it just like...
During that time, the only thing I sensed or was aware of was total, the deepest peace, the most restful. I mean, it was no comparison. It was like being in paradise.
Mm.
And, you know, and after those 5 minutes, I woke up and death, I was not afraid of death. I mean, that just took all the fear. I want to stay around here because still of the things that I have not done yet that I want to do.
Yeah.
But as far as dying itself, that was wonderful, man. That was fantastic.
Well, that I'm not going to lie. I'm sure that's also comforting for people who've lost loved ones as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? To know that it's like, you know, paradise. So when you talk about the things that you still want to do, what are those things? What does that look like to you now?
I want to get into places that I haven't been, places that I'm not supposed to be in. I want to go into the inner cities. One of my goals is to take Iron Addicts to Compton, California, the city that I grew up in. I want to Iron Addicts in Compton. I'm going next month to go inside the prison system to actually talk to prisoners. That has been a goal of mine. I'm going to Africa. There's some things on my bucket list that I want to see. I want to see my son become a multi-time world champion. I already won a couple world champions, but I want to see him be a world champion before I leave. I want to see my grandson play in the NFL. You know, I got a few things I want to hang around for.
Right. When it comes to the urgency, right? So I would imagine that having been at that store, that probably gave you a higher sense of urgency, right?
Oh, yeah.
To get these things done. For somebody who might just be, you know, not have that sense of urgency because they may feel like they have so much time. What would you tell somebody like that? Like, to kind of pick up the pace. What would you tell somebody like that?
Everybody does. Everybody, especially when they're younger, they think they have, even older people think they have, you know, they have plenty of time. But so did my donor. I am absolutely positive. I see my donor, a woman. I have a woman's heart.
Mm-hmm.
I see her often in my mind telling her husband, I'll see you when you get home from work this evening, baby. I can see her calling her daughter up, making plans for the weekend, how they're going to go out and have a bite to eat. I see her often, and I am sure, absolutely positive, that she had no plans on dying anytime soon. She had no plans on that. She wasn't planning to leave here, but she gone. And you know, I often think about that. I talk to her, and I know people think I'm crazy. Yeah, you know, I am.
We all are.
So, you making plans and waiting on tomorrow, and tomorrow may never come. My message to all the people, don't wait. Don't wait. Whatever it is, get about your business and do everything you can to get done, because you don't know when your appointed time is.
Tomorrow's not promised.
That's right.
All right, so we'll end on there. Let's go.